Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to the Kitchen Garden Magazine podcast, your fortnightly fix of gardening features, advice and chat. Subscribe and follow us now to never miss an episode.
Hello folks, and welcome to Kitchen Garden Podcast number 97. Now I'm here with the KG team in our virtual sheds again, still locked away. Here with Emma and Tony. Hello folks.
Hello.
Hiya.
How are you all doing? And you're still surviving lockdown and
bit windswept.
Yeah, my lockdown haircut's getting really good.
Hair's getting longer.
Yeah, same with me.
I need a headband like John McEnroe or a beanie hat like a Benny from Crossroads. It was Benny, wasn't it? I'm not old enough to remember it on the telly, but I think it was Benny.
Oh, gosh. Crossroads.
Anyway, my mother half has threatened to sit me down at the weekend and chop the hair off because she's getting a bit fed up with it, I think. So am I. But we thought we'd have a chat today, didn't we, about starting a plot because it's March and it's time to get busy out there. And I know there's an awful lot of people with lockdown who've decided to grow veg for the first time, might be wondering how to get started. And it just so happens that Emma has written an excellent feature in the March edition, which I can crib from. So now I know how to start a new plot as well.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we could sort of start mentioning how you'd start from a lawn, really, because I suppose a lot of people, if they're starting from scratch in their garden, there's a lot of people might have mainly lawn, mainly grass down. So you think, right, I want to dig a bit up and put some veg in it, grow some veg. So how do you go about it? Well, I mean, if you've never grown veg before, you probably only want to start with a fairly small area. You don't want to dig up your whole lawn. I think it's always a good idea to start small and then gradually increase the area so you can see what you can manage and just play around with a small bit first. But I mean, if it's only a small area, you could literally get a spade and cut the turf into sections, and then you put the spade underneath the turf. It's only just a few centimetres. You can usually feel the resistance, can't you, on turf when you're trying to lift it. You get to that point when it's just below the roots, sort of roots. And then you can lift it, and then you've got a bare area to actually start digging over with a fork or your spade and creating a veg patch that way.
Yeah, you don't have to throw away the turf, do you? You can make loam, so you can make some of your own potting compost or top up raised beds with it later on.
Yeah, just pile it up in a corner somewhere and it'll break down and then you can use the soil again. But I mean, most people, when they've dug up a bit of lawn, quite often find that the soil is pretty good underneath. It might be a bit compacted because of people walking on it, but generally the actual fertility of the soil is often quite good because the grass has kind of been almost kind of feeding it, dying back, being incorporated by the worms. So it's often pretty good. So it's worth trying that first year. You don't even probably need to actually apply anything unless it's a very, very poor clay soil or very sandy soil, and you might want to incorporate some garden compost or some farmyard manure or something if you can get hold of it. But generally, the first year on grass that you've taken off, on soil that you've taken grass off, is pretty good. The one thing sometimes you do have to watch for, it's some sort of wireworms, isn't it? That sometimes you can get in a soil that's had grass.
You can turn it into a little raised bed as well, can't you? Just need some bit of timber, you know, 6 inches high. And gives it a nice finish, actually, if you just put that round it. And you start, you know, whatever the soil's like, you can still put some organic matter in, you know, well-rotted manure or, you know, your own compost that you've made. And it's quite a rich bed then.
The thing is about, as well, making a raised bed is, like you're saying, about 6 inches. Because some people sort of think, unless you've got mobility issues and you want a really high bed, you don't actually need a really, really high a raised bed, do you? It's just kind of making the sides neat, and then you didn't even need to add anything. You can just dig it over, loosen the soil, but then the following year, because you've got a few bit of sides to it, you can just pile a load of stuff in.
Yeah,
and it's not going to
let it
rot over winter, and you're still keeping it, you know, you're adding to it, but you're still keeping it small bed. So, you know, the trouble is with big raised beds, you can start off and then you think, hang on, I've got nothing to fill it with.
What do I fill it with?
Yeah.
You can't fill it with compost.
Edging. Yeah.
That'll cost a fortune. Right.
Yeah.
And dry out quickly.
Yeah.
Even loam costs a fortune. The only lazy way of doing it as well is put down some cardboard, isn't it? If you don't fancy cutting the turf off and you've got a little bit more time, you can just split open a cardboard box, put that on the ground, and then cover that in some garden soil, or perhaps start off with a bit of potting compost from a bag if you have to, although that's an expensive way of doing it. But that will kill the grass underneath, won't it? So it's an alternative to digging the grass up if you don't want to.
I think if you're thinking of a bigger plot, especially on grass, you need to get something, rather than turn it, maybe you should start September, October, November. I know this is March, but if you started in September, October, November, you could put some black plastic sheeting down or some weed suppressant membrane, put loads of bricks on it, keep it down, and then let time do its work for you. And come spring, a lot of stuff will be killed off.
I suppose what you could do if you're starting now, you know, sort of in sort of March, April, and you were like really desperate to get going. I suppose what you could do is you could dig a little bit, couldn't you? Just remove a bit of turf, maybe just for your row of potatoes, your early potatoes. And then what you could do is the rest of it, whatever size you want, the plot, you could then put the membrane down. And then gradually, if you've got a little bit more time, or you've got, say you've got some beans in June you want to plant, you roll it back. You may still have to dig a little bit up, but you then plant all the time. You've got a lot of it covered, so that eventually, gradually, very slowly, you're folding this back, but you're adding crops as you go, so you can actually get away with it straight away. But, I mean, it obviously takes more work for that little bit you're doing, but it's a way of starting like now, if you want it, rather than just sort of say, I've got to cover it all and leave it for a year. Which of course you don't have to.
It's always good advice for people taking on an allotment as well, isn't it? I think not to. Allotments are big, can be a big area, very really daunting. Quite often when you take them on, they're not in the best condition, are they? Yeah. Sort of weedy and
overgrown.
What else? You don't always get a lot of help in clearing it before you take it on, and that's a good method for that sort of area as well, isn't it? Just to garden a little bit of it, cover the rest, and gradually uncover it and grow more and more as the weeds get killed off. A bit less daunting then. So I think probably the thing that makes most people give up allotments anyway is just the fact they can't keep up with the weeds, and they get a bit freaked out by all the weeds and the sheer amount of space they think they've got to fill all in one go, and you just haven't. You can do it gradually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about double digging? You know what? I don't think I've ever double dug anything in my life.
I did have a go once. Yeah. Once. Well, look, because of that, the double digging is kind of like, because it's about really getting deep, isn't it? It's getting deep down. Mm. And I always think if you're going to do it, it's the sort of thing that if you're preparing a plot, it's you do it once, you never do it again.
Yeah,
but I mean, no.
So it's one spade down and then one spade length down again. Isn't it?
Well, not every soil can take that, to be fair. But
it depends, you know, isn't it? Yeah.
Good. I mean, I did it once, and I was just wanting to incorporate a lot of really good manure and muck and stuff. Yeah. And I dug down and I dug down again and made a trench, and then I put the compost and the manure in the bottom, and then I went and threw soil back in over the top, and then I worked my way back, so digging back and digging back. But it was hard work, and I I think if you've got a really really poor soil and you've got the energy and you've got the material to do it, it's worth doing once. Just get your soil going, and then year after that, it's a case of putting stuff on the top. Just letting the worms do a lot of the work for you, really.
Some soils as well, they can have a bit of a hard layer in them, can't they, under the surface.
Yeah.
Quite often where people have used a rotavator for years, year after year, going the same level with the rotavator blades, and you need to double dig to sort of break that up and get the drainage going again, don't you?
That's right,
Got a famous garden once, which will remain nameless. And they had a new head gardener, and they'd made him, he'd made his gardening team double dig the whole walled garden in his first year. Didn't go down very well. And he was going to do that every year.
Yeah,
I noticed that after about 2 years, he'd gone and they had a new head gardener. So I don't know if that had anything to do with it.
But, do you think he was buried under the double digging? You know, they perhaps he
I think you're right. Do it once and then forget it.
Yeah, it's a bit of an old technique, isn't it? That, you know, that's not really done very often, I don't think, now. I mean, the latest thing is the no dig. I mean, you know, you can't get better than that, can you?
No, you can't.
I mean, that basically is you're tending an area of ground where you're not walking on it, you're not compacting it, and you're not, the point of no dig is you're kind of the thing is with digging is it in theory damages the structure of the soil and damages the natural biology of the soil, whereas no dig allows all the natural flora and fauna to just naturally work and keep it in good health. And as long as you're not walking on it, in theory you keep putting more, and you keep each year you keep putting on more organic matter like manure or garden compost, keep putting that on top and letting the worms work it through, you create a really, really healthy soil. And again, making them to start with is that basically you're creating an area, you say, right, I'm not going to walk on that. That's, so you've got to create very narrow beds so you can reach from both sides.
Mm.
And you can create them using Charles Dowding technique. His no dig technique obviously is using something like cardboard on, like you were saying, Steve, and then piling on compost on top of that to prepare the area, and then work on from that.
Mm.
And then each year keep putting more stuff on top.
Yeah, keeps all the channels open, doesn't it, where the worms are working the soil. It's a much kinder term as well, because I must admit, I hate taking the turf off, because you leave a lot of half worms in the soil and you're chopping, and it's awful, really, isn't it? So, I mean, at least that way it keeps everything intact and all the channels in the soil, so the air can get down and the water can drain away. And yeah, it's a good technique, isn't it? Mm. I think he also uses it on the paths as well, doesn't he? Cardboard to make the paths between the beds. Don't necessarily have to have, as we were saying before, you don't necessarily have to have sides to the beds, do you? You can put cardboard down to make a path and keep topping that up as it rots, or putting down wood chip, something like that, to keep a nice path. And then as you're building up your layers of compost on your no-dig bed, it gets higher and higher, so you end up with a sort of hump, which is enough really for growing the. You don't need size necessarily.
No. It certainly saves you on money and work, and then putting in sides and you know, creating kind of like edges to them, really, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing with it is you do need quite a lot of, because you're putting new material on every year, that's the idea, is you probably do need quite a bit of garden compost. So you need to kind of be quite good at making your own garden compost.
Yeah,
and you probably do need to, might need, if on a really big area, you probably need to get sort of almost buy-in material, sort of mushroom compost or horse manure or, you know, some animal manure maybe.
That's right, yeah, you need a stables nearby, don't you?
Yeah, that's on a really big area. I suppose on a small area, you'd be right with your own garden compost, wouldn't you?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you would. Yeah, I've started one this year, and I must admit, I didn't have anything to put on the cardboard, so I did start with a few bags of potting compost, but I'm since topping it up with soil from elsewhere in the garden, and had some work done in the garden, and that created a bit of soil I didn't know what to do with, so that went on as well. And it doesn't take very long before the cardboard rots and the grass underneath disappears. And you can, I mean, even within the first season, you can dig through it and plug plants, you know, plants, perhaps beans and things that you've raised in pots.
That's the thing, isn't it, with the first season. The first season you've got, it's still quite a lot of weed or grass underneath and you're still dying off and you've got fresh stuff on it. So actually sowing seeds in that is not really going to work. So you're going to have to you can plant your seed potatoes, that would probably work. And as you say, you're better off growing things in little cell trays and pots and then planting out young plants, which will cope with that better.
Yeah, potatoes are a good crop to start with, aren't they, with any new bed, really? Because I think it's mainly because you have to move the soil around so much with potatoes, don't you? You've got to dig quite a big trench and put them in, and then you need to earth them up, and all that is moving the soil and killing any weeds that might be in your new bed, so that once you've harvested and start growing other things, there's less of a problem. Weedy things out.
The only other thing just to quickly mention, I guess, is that if you haven't really got an area in your garden, you can always grow a few things in pots. And we've got a good feature coming up soon, haven't we, on growing in pots that you've done, Steve?
A feature anyway. Yes.
It's very good. So, you know, that's something people can do if they haven't really got the area, you know, to grow in. So.
Yeah. In fact, we've also got a good video from Emma on there. Since you mentioned my feature, I'll mention your video, Emma, on YouTube, making a bucket garden.
Oh, a bucket garden. You're growing veg in buckets. You can grow everything in buckets.
Love that.
They're really cheap. Yeah. They're the perfect size. A bucket is a perfect size for your veg growing.
Yeah, 2 gallon
stick
bucket.
Stick a few holes in the bottom.
Make sure you've got holes in the bottom, yeah. Some compost or garden soil in there, and off you go.
Yeah.
Good way.
You hardly need any space at all, really.
Everybody can grow something to eat.
Yeah, a few tomatoes in a growing bag, even. That's all you need to get you started. It's probably better than rushing out trying to get an allotment straight away, isn't it? Just do a little plot or a few pots, see how you enjoy it, and then move on from there.
Yeah.
All My Reads gives you unlimited access to more than 100 specialist books, from history to mystery, rockets to royals, planes to trains, bikes to biographies, and much, much more. Access the digital books across multiple devices, including your desktop, tablet, and phone. All My Reads is just $4.99 per month. Visit allmyreads.com to find out more. Browse the extensive range of titles and try your first month for just 99 pence. Get ready to browse and begin.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times.
Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Another thing we thought we'd have a chat about is jobs for the month. Because there's an awful lot. I mean, March is normally the time when everyone gets started, isn't it? Although, I must admit, I've sown a few things already. I couldn't wait. I've sown a few things, and the soil's still a bit cold out there. Just a few things I've put straight in the ground haven't germinated yet, so I've probably gone too soon. Did a few beetroot and onions and things.
I always think March is very early, really, isn't it? Or to put things in the ground. I think if you've got a sheltered spot in certain parts of the country, I bet you probably get away with it, don't you?
If you've got nice sandy soil or something,
warms up early in the spring, then maybe you can. But I must admit, where I am, I tend to leave it till about early April before I start sowing stuff outside.
Yeah, I haven't planted anything. I've put some potatoes in bags and I put those in the polytunnel, started those off. But I haven't planted anything outside directly, just got lots potatoes, of little seedlings coming up.
End of March, I do put the potatoes in about the end of March.
By the time they've come through, there's less of a problem with frost and that, isn't there? Although you've still got to be careful, of course, for a while. But because they would take a while to come through and you've got to earth them up and everything as they do, they're protected, aren't they, usually, for a while.
I'm going to start sowing next week. I'm going to start sowing my tomatoes next week.
Oh, that'll be in pots, then.
In pots, a little, yeah. And then I think that'll be the first thing I'll start, maybe some peppers. But, I'm a bit late, perhaps, but I don't like starting things too early. I've made the mistake of doing things too early.
Well, especially tomatoes, they tend to get really tall, don't they, indoors before you can get
them
outside.
That's the trouble with them. It's too warm indoors and they get all leggy and then it's too cold to put them out in the greenhouse. I mean, so I have to kind of time it so that when they're ready to go out into the greenhouse to sit on the bench, and just to grow on, it's got to be so that there's not going to be any really, really bad weather to turn them purple, which they did one year when the seedlings went out into the greenhouse after being all nice and cozy in the house, and then they all turned purple.
Putting out in the frost.
I've got two tomato plants that I sowed in November. I've told you about this, haven't I? Which isn't something I normally do, but I did it because we wanted a picture of them, and they are a bit leggy, and what I do is I keep repotting them on, hoping they're going to strengthen so that I keep, taking the lower leaves off, put them in a bigger pot, and they're about 2 foot high at the moment. So I don't know if they're going to do any good, but I thought, well, rather than just kill them and, throw them away, I'll see how they get on.
It could work, couldn't it? You could actually end up having tomatoes.
I think I might get some small ones. I mean, it doesn't look incredibly vigorous, and like you say, the trouble with them, it just shoots up. But they're inside; they're just in a room actually, and just going to see how they get on. But it's an interesting experiment just to see how they do.
Yeah, it is interesting.
But like you say, normally I wouldn't be sowing them that early. It was just so that we get a picture of them early on.
Yeah. But, yeah. There's other things you can sow, isn't there? When you plant your onion sets now, I guess, outside, mm-hmm. well, perhaps towards the end of the month. Again, it's probably a bit early. They reckon you need to let the soil get to about 7, don't they? 5 to 7 degrees right. before you okay. plant anything.
Mm.
I'm going to have to get myself a soil thermometer. So can't keep sitting on the soil to test our water.
The old way was used to drop your trousers and sit on the soil.
Yeah.
And then if it's like bearable, it's ready to sow.
Has
anybody ever done that, I wonder?
No, really not
going to
either.
I tend to use my elbow these days.
Not going
to
admit it.
No. But yeah, planting your
own. It'll cause a stir in the neighbourhood, Steve.
Pardon?
It'll cause a stir in the neighbourhood if you start doing that.
It would. Yeah, it would. Yeah, not in a good way. Not in a good way. you could still plant a bit of fruit, I suppose, this time of year, if you want a fruit tree. I've been desperately running around finishing my pruning this month because I should have done it, you know, more midwinter, really. You're supposed to prune your apples and pears and things when they're completely dormant, aren't you? I do it every year. I never get around to it. And then just as the buds are starting to shoot, I think, oh, my goodness, must get around, finish my pruning. So that's what I've been doing, or what I did last weekend. But you can still plant just about, get some bare-rooted fruit in.
Yeah.
Mm.
I think every garden should have a fruit tree. Although I could do with a few more. I've got a few apples and a pear, which is rather nice. Actually, a pear tree looks lovely. I've got it up by the patio because when it's in flower, it looks gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Those to do. And getting, I suppose you can do some hardier things. I've put some peas in and some gutter in the greenhouse, ready to go, some early peas. Mm-hmm. Not even through yet, but... And I haven't sown, so perhaps a little bit too cold outside even for those at the moment. But, yeah, they're in guttering in the greenhouse, ready to go. So I've got those in. Yeah, it is, isn't it? Yeah, I'm quite pleased with myself, really. Got me early onwards this year. Anyway, that's probably plenty for people to be doing. If they're not out digging the plot, they've got plenty to sow to fill it up. So I suppose we better get back to it, hadn't we? Get back and do some work.
Yeah.
So thanks, everyone, for listening. Hope you've enjoyed it. And if you've got any questions for us, don't forget to save them up and email them in. You can email me at sott@mortons, which is mortons.co.uk. And we'll save them up and try and answer them for you on our next podcast. Otherwise, we've also got some great subscription offers. If you go to www.classicmagazines.co.uk, you can take out a subscription, and that way you don't have to don a mask and get out to the shops. It will just drop through your letterbox every month. And also you'll get some free seeds, which can't be bad. So thanks again for listening, and bye to the team.
Bye.
And we'll see you again soon. Thanks very much.
If you enjoyed this podcast, you can subscribe to Kitchen Garden Prime for just $4.99 per month. You'll be getting a whole lot for your plot, including an easy-read tablet and phone edition to read anywhere, anytime, exclusive access to 10 years of digital back issue archives, access to exclusive content from the online allotment, the Mudketeers website. Plus, the monthly print magazine will be delivered free to your door each month. Head to classicmagazines.co.uk/KGPrime to sign up today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.